Jeff and I believe there are two players who have the most to prove it in 2023 season, and none of them is named Deshaun Watson. We'll talk about that next on this episode of the Locked On Browns podcast.
You are Locked On Browns, your daily Cleveland Browns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Friends, to the show that never ends, your daily delivery of all things Dog Pound, LGB on the LOB, the Locked On Browns podcast, your best Cleveland Browns coverage, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Your host, Jeff Lloyd, at Jeff underscore LJ underscore Lloyd. Also, everybody knows the big fella, Garrett Bush, at G Bush 91. As we continue every day to bring you the best Cleveland Browns coverage we can. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. This episode, of course, is part of the FanDuel Network, the best the official sportsbook of the NFL. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. Always available wherever you get your podcast, and make sure you're subscribed and following on the YouTube channel. G. Bush, what is on tap today?
On today's show, we get into and tell you why drafting a running back is the best move over bringing in another veteran. We believe it's the savvy thing to do. A'shaun Robinson can take the Browns defense to the next level. He's still available. We need to go out and grab him. But first, Jeff, J.O.K. and Jedrick Wills have the most to prove in the 2023 season, not Deshaun Watson. We look at this thing, and when you look at Jedrick Wills and you look at JOK, guys that we're leaning on heavily. Let's start off first with Jedrick Wills. When you look at Jedrick Wills, obviously we talk about you know his up and down season so far. You know, I wouldn't say even just last season, but go back and look at it, Jeff. Go back and look at what he did in 2020. His PFF grade was a 62.9. But I think a lot of people thought that, hey, guess what, man? You know, he's a rookie, and I think he played up to his caliber, and then he showed some glimpses of being a dominant left tackle. But when you look at what happened that year, the Browns go to the playoffs. Things that those expectations ratcheted up a little bit, and you look at it, he stepped up a little bit, was able to go to a 66.1 in 2021. That year he was hampered with a lot of injuries. I think we attributed a lot of that to the ankle, but he was still on the incline, right? He was still hitting his peak a little bit there, Jeff. You know, he was rated 52 out of 83 left tackles or tackles in general. And we thought he was on his way. Bill Callahan worked with him, and we thinking like, hey, we got a guy who's in the draft top 10. He's a set it and forget it guy. Just forget about him. Go put him over there. And a fifth year option at that point was a no brainer. But then you have last year, 2022, 62.9 grade, according to Pro Football Focus, still dealt with some injuries. And when you look at it, with that 62.9, the alarming part was, I always thought Jedrick Wills was more of a better run blocker than a pass blocker. But if you look at it last year, 55.3 run block grade, 69.6, almost a 70 pass block grade. So he has taken a step back. And you look at it, there's some times, and you'll see these on Twitter, the guys pointing out the fact that he's, you know, not, you know, fighting through plays, not stopping in the middle of the plays, really not showing that effort. And I think sometimes as an offensive lineman, what can happen is you get demoralized a little bit, especially when you give up tackles for loss, especially when you give up penalties and sacks. I think that demoralizes you a little bit, and you have a tendency to stop instead of saying, hey, I got beat on this play, but let me keep fighting through the end of the whistle. Hey, I did hold the guy, but I can't let that affect the next play. So I think Jedrick Wills is one of those individuals. You can definitely get into a comment. What are your thoughts on Jedrick Wills? And then we'll kind of jump and pivot to JLK.
Okay, and now for anybody who's going to jump in here and wonder why, you know, Deshaun Watson is not that guy, $230 million, guys. Deshaun Watson ain't going anywhere, and he ain't going anywhere anytime soon. You know, I do agree, and if we were going to do one side of the ball or the other side of the ball, I do agree, it's Jedrick Wills. You know, the Browns, you know, with bringing Ethan Posick back, with bringing Jack Conklin back, you have four starters on that offensive line that you are rock solid certain about. Jedrick Wills, to this point, would be the question mark there. For me, going to the defensive side of the ball here, and I know a lot of people give the Browns a lot of flack. They don't put a lot of monetary investment into the linebacker position. And I can get that. But the question is what you put financially into something and what's the return you get? You know, the Browns have, for the monetary amount they have dispersed to the linebackers, they have gotten back what they have hoped for and then some. JOK, it's a little bit different. They, you know, traded up in the second round 2 years ago to acquire him. There's been times where we thought Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was going to be a star at the linebacker position. Sadly, 2022 got cut short for him. So now you bring back him along with Sione Takitaki, along with Anthony Walker. But the question here in, you know, for the Browns within the building is, you know, can JOK take the step that they feel he is capable of, the investment they put into him, you know, jumping up in the second round of bringing him into the fold. They feel he is a more modern day linebacker. He's a guy that can run around and just create havoc, create chaos with his athletic ability. You know, the coverage at times has looked good. The coverage at times we have our uncertainties about. But Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is the guy that's supposed to take this step here. And he would be in line with getting an extension. He would be in line with getting more money as, you know, we're going to beginning into year three and year four. This was the gradual plan was we're not going to go this veteran route anymore because now we kind of have our own homegrown guy. JOK has to show he's ready for that. You know, whether we all think he truly is, that's great. But the proof's in the pudding. As you know, G, as I know, you know, he's got to go out there and you give it up and get into it on a more consistent basis. Do I think Jim Schwartz and an improved defensive line is going to allow for that transformation for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah? I certainly do. But the question is now is, you know, how all these reps are going to shake out because you have Takitaki back. You have Anthony Walker back. You still have Jacob Phillips. You still have Tony Fields. You got the two guys who we think are going to be primarily special teamers, but they factor into this room as well. The time is for Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah to take this next step here for the Browns. And it's certainly a question that they want answered. And they would like, you know, answered as soon as camp starts, obviously, and certainly as soon as the season starts here. A lot of eyes on number 28 this year. Certainly a lot of eyes on number 71. And kids, come on, don't be fooling yourselves for a second. Number four ain't going anywhere. When you're getting paid like that, kids, you're all good in the hood, so to speak. You know, Garrett went on earlier, free agent defensive tackle. There are still a couple of names out there, and there's one pinpointed. And I guess we'll go A-Rob, and we'll get to all that here as we switch it up and transition. Jeff Lloyd, Garrett Bush, your latest Locked On Browns. NBA season is coming to an end. We got Final Four weekend this year. MLB kicking off. It is time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use, and then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores, even three-pointers drained. One of my favorite things to do, and look, you guys are big Guardians fans, you're big Cavaliers fans. Why don't you think about and look into a same-game parlay? Find four or five long-shot bets that you like and think will hit. You don't have to put a lot of money down, but the possibility for a big payout is certainly there with the same game parlay. So don't miss this chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to fanduel.com/lockedon. That is fanduel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Thank you for making Locked On Browns your first listen of each and every day. Jeff, A'shaun Robinson is the guy the Browns really need to get to. I think A'shaun Robinson is the guy of the best available, best of the guys left. Little cloudy, you can't see here a little bit, but I'll read it. Calais Campbell signing with Atlanta. Here are the top defensive linemen left. I love Puna Ford. I like him. You got A'shaun Robinson. You got Shelby Harris. Akeem Hicks is a little longer in the tooth. Quentin Jefferson, Michael Brockers, Al Woods, and Taquan Lewis. When we asked this question, Jeff, I believe that A'shaun Robinson is the best man for the job. You take a look at A'shaun Robinson, what he's been able to do so far. He was platooning there, playing in the middle with Aaron Donald for the for the Rams. And you look at it, he has some injury situations. He has not been as of last year, 64.4. It was his grade, but he's shown some good years. 2021, 77.7 grade. 2018 was his best year. He was rated as the 10th best defensive lineman with an 89.7 rating. I think those 89.7 days are a little behind him. But for what the Cleveland Browns want to do, for what they want to do is they want to be able to plug him in and plug him in as a starter and then kind of feel backwards. If you could put an A'shaun Robinson in the mix and have him starting with a Tomlinson, and then you bump down guys like Hurst, guys like Hill, guys like a Perrion Winfrey, now what you've started to develop is some depth. Now you can say, you can afford to say, okay, well, we don't have to pay A'shaun Robinson every on our pass rush downs. We can bring a Perrion Winfrey in. We can do some things and kick slide some guys, or maybe bring in Hill, who might be a better pass rusher. When you look at it, I love the fact that it gives you some added beef. 6'4", 330, and comes from a pedigree. Comes from a team that has won some championships in the Rams. And if there's anything that guys from Alabama know how to do, it's stop the run. Tomlinson played with A'shaun Robinson. And if you can get two of those Alabama boys in the middle, you might not be using them on pass rush downs, but I think he's a great addition in terms of depth. And I think he can help them, shore up the run a little bit too and be the cherry on top of the sundae, Jeff, if they're able to go out and grab him and bring him in.
For me, and when you bring in Dalvin Tomlinson, and look, Dalvin Tomlinson can do many things at the defensive tackle position. And the fact that Dalvin Tomlinson, brings the ability to get after the pass rusher. And we'll see how it works because, obviously in an ideal world, the Browns have other guys they would like to kick to the interior. So for Dalvin Tomlinson, it may not come to that. But that's the reason a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson gets $10 million a year. That's the reason a guy like Javon Hargrave gets $18 million a year. They are dual threat interior guys, and they can contribute in both aspects that you ask of them. Now, when you look at a player like A'shaun Robinson, and now here we are, I don't know if it's 18, 19 days deep in a free agency. And to use an example here, Dallas Cowboys just re-signed former Ohio State Buckeye Jonathan Hankins for $1.5 million. So to bring these guys in, and I don't want to call them one trick ponies because it's completely disingenuous to call them one trick ponies. But it's okay to be a solid defensive tackle who contributes in run defense. And for a guy like A'shaun Robinson, when you say, hey, it could be a one-year contract, $1.5 million, $2 million, whatever it is, and most likely, we are going to limit your reps because we have other guys we're going to bring in obvious passing situations. You can't bank on Hurst and Hill. You can't. You cannot bank on either one of these guys. Hurst with his injury history. Hill has a little bit of one himself, and he's always been an up-and-down kind of guy. But A'shaun Robinson comes in here, and it's basically, hey, you've done this your entire time in the NFL. Nothing's new here. You know what we're going to ask of you. You know what we're going to require of you. And he can keep putting together 1 year, $2 million checks for another 5-6 seasons. And it turns out to be, a nice, career for him. Look, there's other names on that list that have some appeal. Matt Ioannidis, certainly. Matt Ioannidis is a guy who can play inside and outside. But for the Browns, it's simple. And these are guys you should have considered last year. Tim Settle, was a guy that went to the Buffalo Bills. I think it was a 2-year, $4 million deal. This is some of the Browns should have been in on last year. But A'shaun Robinson is still out there, and you have the connection. He knows Dalvin Tomlinson. And freaky enough, A'shaun Robinson, granted they weren't in the same draft. A'shaun Robinson was drafted higher in the NFL draft than Dalvin Tomlinson was. So you know what you're getting, but you know, as the careers go on, are you a guy that brings both ends? And look, there's not a lot of guys on the interior. If we wanted to talk about true, complete interior defensive tackles in the NFL, we'd get about 8 to about number 8 or 9, and we'd probably stop. So you're either a guy that is a little bit undersized and is a really good pass rusher, or you're a guy who's 330 pounds and you're just an absolute massive human being and trying to move a soda machine that has no wheels on it. That's the type of guy A'shaun Robinson is. When we talk about making the success for a player like Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, is with the thought process of putting guys like A'shaun Robinson in front of them, where these guys, smaller linebackers, today's NFL, 230, maybe a little bit less, where these guys are built more in speed, athleticism, and agility, as opposed to taking on a fullback in the hole, fighting him off, and then going to take down a 220-pound running back. A'shaun Robinson right now seems to be a really, really just a simple get for Andrew Berry and company. He's there. It's not going to cost a ton of money. And what have we been talking about a ton here, G, over the last few weeks about guys they brought in? Juan Thornhill, Super Bowl experience. Mm-hmm. You talk about Marquise Goodwin, Super Bowl experience. Getting guys in this building who have grown accustomed to playing late season football and don't say, oh, well, let's get these 17 games over with because I want to get down to South Beach. I want to get down to the Caribbean and hang out with the boys on the boat. No, these guys are all in, and they expect to be part of winning franchises. If A'shaun Robinson fits that bill, he's not going to cost you a ton. He comes in as the anchor to that defensive line. If Hurston Hill give you anything, that's great. But there's a high probability that maybe they don't. And then now you're looking at the draft here, and those are uncertainties, and the Browns haven't done well in that respect. A'shaun Robinson just seems such a simple slam dunk transition to get into this room right now. I want to see Andrew Berry get this done and get it done quick.
And I think one of the things that we, if you look at the signings, I think one thing jumps out at you. I think Andrew Berry regrets bringing and counting on that many young players to make an impact. When you go back and look at who was playing last year, you had a Tommy Toe guy, younger guy, Jordan Elliott, young guy, Isaiah Thomas, Alex Wright. At one point in time, all four of those guys were playing against the Atlanta Falcons and other places when Myles Garrett was out, Jadeveon Clowney being out. But you compound that, right? When you're playing a young guy like Grant Delpit, who has to come up in the run fits, you're also playing young guys on the edge, Martin Emerson, a rookie, Newsom, who's also a second-year player. And then tell you about this. Then you got Phillips as well as JOK, who are younger players as well. And I think one thing that happened was guys were not being disciplined, not being in their right gaps, not having the gap integrity up front. So then you roll into a situation where all those young guys, if one guy makes a mistake on this play and 10 guys are doing the right thing, you're in trouble. So I think it was a conscious effort to bring in veterans that knew what was going on, that could fill in and kind of minimize some of their damage.
No question about it. And, you know, these are simple things and something that's not going to cost you a lot. This isn't something you have to go to the length of a Dalvin Tomlinson deal for, and you don't have to trade for him. A'shaun Robinson just comes in here. Very simply put, this is the like, I don't know how you like your Sundays. You know, you want whipped cream, you want sprinkles, you want a cherry at the end. This is the fixings. And this would just be the absolute coup de grace to what has been a great, great free agent haul to this point for Andrew Berry. We got one last segment to get to. We're going to talk how we're going to handle finishing out this running back room, because normally an analytic franchise doesn't want to contribute a lot of money, but you already have one big high-paying guy in there. How are we going to finish the running back room? Last segment coming up. Garrett Bush, Jeff Lloyd, your latest Locked On Browns, whether it's YouTube, whether it is your favorite podcast platform, we appreciate everybody who makes Locked On Browns their first listen every single day.
Jeff, the no-brainer coming back here is that when you look at what they need to be doing in terms of the running back room, it is a no-brainer that you should draft the running back over looking at bringing in a veteran one. It's just when you take a look at some of these running backs that are on the list and you see some of the quality names of these individuals, and you take a look at Bijan Robinson being the 27th best prospect as far as a running back goes on Pro Football Focus, this gives you a clear look at why most teams are looking to get a running back in the draft versus bringing in a veteran one. A lot of people ask, where's Kareem Hunt? Well, I'll give you a reason why Kareem Hunt is not back with the Browns, because when you're the number one running back on the list is the 27th ranked guy on your board, look how many other guys that you that where your running back list is falling for. And look how many good quality backs you can get on the cheap, on the skinny, more explosive, less tread off the tires. Jamar Gibbs is another example. It was one of those guys, a guy that can move and that's a burner. A-Chain is another guy who I watch for Texas A&M. Guy has track speed. He's got a, you know, most would say is like an undersized version of Demetric Felton, but can move. He's faster than Demetric Felton. And when you take a look at some of these guys on the list, you know, your running backs, your fifth or sixth running back that they have projected going on off the board, when they're 96th on the board, look at the amount of value that you're getting at running back with less tread, with less damage. And I just think when you have a guy like Jerome Ford, you bring him in, you're getting younger. And what you want to do is look, Nick Chubb, you know, he's dynamic. Nick Chubb is means to a lot to what the Cleveland Browns want to do. But Nick Chubb is getting paid. Look at the thought, you know, they're talking about moving Derrick Henry. So if Derrick Henry is starting talking about getting moved, I think sometimes we kind of, you know, overinflate the value because, you know, running backs mean a lot to us. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Nick Chubb fan through and through. I think he should get the carries. I would love for him to retire as a Cleveland Brown. But the reality of the situation is when you look across the league in the landscape, Christian McCaffrey was traded. They're talking about trading Derrick Henry. And then you get your tales of consequential tales of what happened to the back in Indianapolis. What happened to him? He was the darling, right? Alvin Kamara, some of the names like that. Where Alvin Kamara at? Saquon Barkley is a guy who's been injured oftentimes with the Giants. So when you look at the running back room, it's a shame that these guys are carrying teams and they've carried their squads for a long period of time. But you just look at what the running back room is and what it used to be. No longer are you going to get your door set. Tony Dorsett's or your Paytons or your all those guys that Emmitt Smith who carried the you know the ball in with a focal point in what you do. When you look at some of these young guys, it just shows you, Jeff, that this is the reason why you go get a young back over a veteran.
You know, look, the veterans, look, it's great. And look, the Browns just had to. And, you know, you look at what the Browns paid last year, $9 million to Kareem Hunt and Dearness Johnson. And with anything, you know, with anything you do, it is, you know, what is the investment I put in as opposed to the return I got out of it? You know, what you're spending. And look, I know a lot of you going through this right now as far as your food shopping. You know what I'm saying? Because prices are sky high. You want to know what? I'm not going to pay it. Because we don't necessarily eat it. So you have to think, and you know, for an analytic franchise, this is always the way you're thinking. You will get exceptions to the rule. Nick Chubb for the Cleveland Browns is an exception to their core beliefs. It's an exception to their rule. We wouldn't normally pay a running back, but when the guy is a stellar player, a stellar person within the locker room, the building, a stellar person in the community, sometimes your hands get tied. This is not the route this organization, if they continue the way this front office is constructed for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years, they want to go. It's not the way they want it. They want young kids in on first contracts, and they want to play off the fact that they understand the fact that it is the most dangerous position in the NFL. Now, you brought up some great names. Now, for me, I'm going to go with a guy like Tank Bigsby out of Auburn. Here's a guy that carried a PFF grade of above 90 for his 3 years at Auburn. He is a bell cow type of guy. He can handle his 20 carries per game, and let's not get caught up in the 20 carry conversation. We're not doing that one, kids, here today. Yeah, we got a lot else going on.
We argued about that in the post game shows.
But now this is a guy that can be your lead back. And then you look at guys you can put around him. You brought up the kid, Devin Shane, from Texas A&M. Don't know exactly what happened, and he was rumored to be the fastest running back in the class, but a one cut and go guy. There are other guys that you can pair with a guy like Tank Bigsby. The kid who blew up Pittsburgh's pro day today is Israel Abakandwa. 41 inch vert. The speed is there. The long speed is there. Sean Tucker, a personal favorite of mine from Syracuse, two way running back, can catch, can run. There ain't running backs who can cover him, and there are safeties who do not want to tackle him. You get to another player that I've talked about a ton, Kenny McIntosh from Georgia. But here is the biggest issue with this when we talk about this, and there's more. Roshan Johnson from Texas. There is the kid Keaton Mitchell from East Carolina. The Browns have to find a way to start getting conservative with their money. If you want some of these guys to stick around, the Browns are probably going to look for an approach to treat the running back room like they treat the linebacker room. They want it to be dirt cheap. We'll invest money into 4 or 5 guys, and we hope it turns out in that respect. This is, and nobody wants to have the conversation of what would life look like after Nick Chubb. And, you know, G's with me. I'm on the same premise of, you know, Nick Chubb, continue to do what you do for another 3-4 seasons. That's fine. But you cannot, when you rely on Nick and the player he is, to not have a plan B. And that's what's difficult when you play your running back. I'm sorry, you pay your running back what you do. And the Browns, you can't double up, and you can't go give $6.5 million to a player, not Kareem Hunt, because none of them are doing that around anymore. But you can't pay $6.5 million to a second running back. You've already got, you know, double digits invested in your starting running back. So you kind of got a piecemeal, G.
Yeah, you definitely, and you know me, I'm a spendaholic. You know, I don't even like going to the grocery store.
It's Rose to keep reeling you in.
Man, come on, man. She done already cut my shoes off. I gotta look at price tags at the grocery store, and the Browns can't spend all the money. It's tough for being off season, but you know, you're right. You have to watch a little bit what you're doing, and the key is you have to start hitting on some of these younger cheap players, because here's the thing: if you could get a Jerome Ford and you hit right on that, look how you look, right? If you get a Bell that you can extend and he's on the cheap for a third round draft pick, for look at how that looks. If you could get a Perrion Winfrey to show up and be like, oh, he's a stud, he's gonna be a future superstar. All these things matter, because it's really going to help you out in terms of your cap, in terms of your fiscal responsibility, and at the end of the day, just making sure that you can keep the cupboards stocked with the things that you need to do in order to, you know, keep your team valuable and then peak at the right time. You know, the reality is Joe Bitonio is on the downside. It goes down. He's closer to the finish line in the beginning. Believe it or not, Myles Garrett is closer to the finish line in the beginning. Nick Chubb is too. So what you're looking at is, we're not saying those guys are going to fall off and be terrible next year, but what we are saying is that you have to maximize their primes by getting guys that are younger, cheaper, that can carry some of this load, because you can't pay everybody and you can't fill everything with free agency.
And, you know, whether anybody, you know, is truly willing to embrace it, this franchise is going to go analytical. And, you know, granted, there have been some things that dropped into their lap. And look, Nick Chubb was not a player they ever brought in. But they certainly had to do the business they had to do with a player like Nick Chubb. You're going to see the and especially if they succeed, you're going to see the analytic influence as far as, you know, the manifesto from back in the day. I am Jeff Lloyd at Jeff underscore LJ underscore Lloyd. He is Garrett Bush at G Bush 91. Tomorrow, tune back in, folks. We're going to be right back here. We're going to give you your Cleveland Browns 2023 breakout candidates. So make sure you're checking that out. We appreciate everybody who makes Locked On Browns their first listen, whether it is on your favorite podcast app, whether it's on YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you have notifications on so when the content drops, you're there. So as long as you make that your first listen, go ahead and check out Locked On NFL Scouting. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino. They basically take you basically from the soup to nuts of every NFL team, whether it's the draft process, whether it is roster construction, whether it is manipulating the salary cap. These guys over there do a fantastic job. Appreciate you all for being along for the ride. We will see you all tomorrow. LGB on the LOB. Let's go, Browns.